We're dealing with a topic of bereavement. Our commentary number is also open to you. It's 0539145222. And Maria Neville is here with me once again. Maria, just to recap on where we were last year, or last week, when we moved away from this subject.
Yeah, we were looking at grief as a natural process. You guys say, what is grief? What is grieving? It's a natural process, and all of us touch it at some point in our lives, whether it's sooner or later, that somebody love really hurts without you, that somebody that you love is gone, and the pain and the hurt and the sadness in a person's heart and their soul is ginormous. And the process of that, our tendency is to have a good funeral. You know, everyone talks about the bereaved and there's tears and whatever, and then people go home. And then people are expected to get up on Monday or Tuesday of the next week and get back to work and get over it. Do you know what I mean? Not that in the sense that people expect it, but they expect it of themselves. And also maybe family members expect it of them. And they can feel, the one thing we didn't say about grief last week, people can feel really, really isolated in their grief. You'll hear people say to you, I do manage to go out, but when I'm out, I feel alone in the room because all I feel is the pain of the loss of that person. Or other people will say, I'm really worried about my sister or my husband or my mother because she's isolating herself.
Right, I have a comment straight in, and this will certainly lead us where you want to go next. Anne-Marie has texted me. She said, my dad is 15 years dead. When I talk about him, I still cry. Mm-hmm. We always got on very well. We were like best friends. Can you help me, please?
Yeah.
Can you help Anne-Marie?
Yeah, because Anne-Marie, yes, this is like a wound in Anne-Marie's soul and buried. And so I bet for Anne-Marie that something triggers it, or something, memory of her father or something, and she's ending up crying. And I would suggest to Anne-Marie that she does need to get some professional help with this. Not everybody does, but sometimes we do. We get stuck in grief. And I was talking to you just before the programme started as well, that people have grieves and they put them away and then they have another loss.
Yeah,
and
you they end can up explain in, that because that's very, very interesting. This is someone who loses somebody, then they lose somebody else.
Yeah.
And they don't actually grieve it properly at all.
They don't actually grieve it properly at all. And what I've said this many times in the program, I want to remind the listeners again, that we have an emotional brain. It's a physical part of your brain that stores all your emotions. So if you don't do the grief circle and really grieve a person in a process way, if you put it away before it's fully grieved, it stays there. Then you get another grief that comes along and another one. And very often I meet people in the therapy room that are completely overwhelmed with grief. You know, absolutely. It could even be maybe 2 years after the last loss.
How does that, you say overwhelmed by grief, how does that manifest itself? What do you actually see from someone who's overwhelmed by grief?
They're overwhelmed by grief. They're completely tearful. The least thing has them crying. They're hypersensitive. They're maybe going to work, but just merely maybe about functioning in work. Do you know what I mean? And or in their relationships, the other side of it is they might be angry or distressed a lot of the time. You know, and that's the way it can come over. I remember years ago when I was a nurse and I didn't understand, when I was training, about 30 years ago, this woman I trained with, what happened, and this is an example of it, and it might illustrate the thing, that her brother was killed in an accident. A year later, her mother committed suicide because she couldn't, or killed herself because she couldn't cope with the loss of the brother and she was depressed anyway. And then her husband was killed in an accident. And she never processed any of these. She was an air hostess and she came working with us in the hospital. And she was training with us as a nurse. And then a man broke her heart. She got involved in this relationship and he said it was over. And all the grief of all the other things that she hadn't grieved came tumbling down. And in this lady's case, she had a complete nervous breakdown.
And how is she now?
She's grand. She got help at that time, 30 years ago, do you know? We've lost touch now. But she did come through it and she got help and she was out of work for a long, long time.
And how does it help? How do you help?
How do you help? You need
how
to
do you get from this? This is a quadruple thing that happened to this particular person.
Well, but even using her, but even using other people, different. And you have to remember, when we talked initially about loss, Alan, it's not just the loss of people. There can be the loss of other things in your life, jobs, situations, all added into that mix. So, but how would I help somebody that like her that would come into me? It's about healing the wound in your heart. When that person comes in, well, I'm a nurse, kind of like they have a big, deep, hidden abscess in their stomach, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? So what you do is you try to drain it off. And there's different exercises and different things that we can do in a therapeutic way to try and put closure on some of these things. People feel guilt. They feel guilt. Like in her case, I'm using her as an example, she wouldn't mind, and it was 30 years ago, she was my friend. She felt guilty because herself and her husband hadn't been on good terms the day he went out. she felt guilty that maybe she hadn't visited her mother enough in the grief of her brother. Do you know what I mean? She felt she'd let them down. And people in relation to grief, it's not just the loss. They can have many other feelings, like anger at the way they were treated or not treated, guilt that they didn't do this or that. So the process of healing is not just about fixing up the loss. It's about fixing up all the periphery feelings around the loss. Guilt that they had a row, guilt that they fought with them. You know, all of these kind of things come into the mix. So if I was working with somebody like her, it's each of these individual griefs, we would do therapeutic exercises around them. Now, even when you come through that, you're not, you always have a scar from the loss of somebody that you've loved, that you've lost. But if you've put the thing to bed a bit better, you're not going around with an open wound that invades and pervades your life. You know, that's all I can say on that one.
All right, another comment from a listener. 0833 123 123 is the Southeast Radio Kia or minifarm.com text line. My mother-in-law died a few weeks ago. It hasn't hit me yet. I can't bring myself to believe she's gone.
Yeah, and this lady is in the first stage of grief. She's in shock. Complete and utter shock.
So what does she do?
Well, I think it's just to even acknowledge that she is in shock and to acknowledge that grief is a process. I would suggest to this lady that she gives the grief some time. Like I said to you last week about the black dog under the porch, that's what death is like. Do you know what I mean? We try to keep it away. We try to push it away. But if we can sit with the feelings even for 10 or 15 minutes a day, cry, get it out, write them down, talk about her, that the process of grieving will start to move on. She may go through other phases, and they're not phases like I now do shock and now I move to anger or denial, or, you know what I mean, they go up and down. But basically to talk about her, to acknowledge it, and this is something I said to you before the programme began as well, to acknowledge it to the other relevant people in her life, you know, whether it's her partner or husband or children, because very often people try to protect each other from the loss that they're commonly feeling. And so therefore, if they talk about her mother-in-law, do you know what I mean, have a few tears, let the tears happen. Don't be trying to stop them.
The very fact that this listener is grieving over the loss of her mother-in-law, yeah. People will, you know, the way life is, they will say, well, it's not her mother, it's not her father.
No.
How come someone can grieve over someone who's not a blood relation?
Well, it's the depth of the relationship, really.
So it's all about friendship.
It's all about friendship. Yeah. And I mean, the death of your mother-in-law, the death of your best friend, the death of a colleague at work that you've worked with for 30 years could have a huge impact on a person. And I think you've brought up a very relevant point.
Can it hit you as hard as if you lost someone belonging to you?
It can. Yeah. Because if that person was a part of your day-to-day world and they were part of your life and you're confident and everything, you've lost a huge amount of your life. Like, you could have a brother that lived in Australia and you love him, but you don't see him very often. And you could have your friend Jimmy that's been there for you, that you talked to, that was your right-hand man. And it's like as if you're not entitled to that grief.
But do you think, you know, we as a society need to accept more that if you lose a friend, it can have as much an impact on you as if you lose a relative?
Absolutely. And we need to, it's the depth of the relationship equates the loss to the person. The depth of the relationship equates the loss. And we need to give it. I remember one time, another friend of mine years ago, she was going out with this fellow. They weren't engaged, they weren't anything, but she loved him passionately. And when he died, she didn't have a place to grieve. She was like in the background. She wasn't the wife, she wasn't the fiancé, you know, and she grieved so deeply that loss, you know. And it was like she didn't have permission to grieve. So give permission if you lose your friends. I have a couple of friends in my life, and if anything happened to them, I'd be devastated. Do you know what I mean? So it's about the depth of the relationship.
Finally for today, and I think we'll have to get back to this again because there are more comments coming in. Children and grief.
Yes.
And the fact that you think they are so young that they don't even know what it is, but you believe the opposite. They do know fully well what it is.
Well, I read in a book one time, if you're capable of loving, which children are, you're capable of feeling loss. Now, the younger the child, the more difficult it is for them to put that into kind of cognition, into talking about it. But even very young children will feel loss, the loss of a relevant person in their life. And for people out there, it's about, again, acknowledging the children's feelings and letting them have their feelings. If they're crying, let them cry. They might be angry, you know. And I was a therapist friend, she wouldn't mind, the other day we were talking about this, and they were saying, you know, children have a lot of confusion around death as well. You'll say to them, you know, your granny is in the grave and she's in heaven. How can she be in heaven and be in the grave? Do you know, this kind of talk and like that. So, but it's about letting them have their loss. A great help with this is drawing, you know, writing, all these little memory jars, putting stuff inside a jar to represent the memories. Like my friend years ago whose son died, she had a younger child and she went to somebody for therapy, and what she got her to do was a memory jar of William and put little things in the jar that mattered, and she kept that for years. She's in her 20s now. Do you know, it was like her little piece of him. So grief, and sometimes children need to go for play therapy if they're very young children.
What's that?
Play therapy is a form of therapy that is suitable for children where you work with art and clay and things like that to get the grief, because grief is in your mind, it's in your unconscious mind as well, so they work in a different way with children. You know, my husband trained in that, and it's a very specialised area, and there are a number of play therapists in the County Wexford who can help people. And with children, if they go to therapy, it's usually quite a short process, you know what I mean? It's not a long-term commitment to a child, but even in your own home, not every child will need that. And there's also in the schools for children, there's the Rainbow Programme, where people have been trained to form a little group. And into that programme, children experiencing different loss can come, like the loss of separation is another loss for a child, you know, when parents part. So, but to recognise, the main thing is that children are grieving and you can't protect them from loss. You must sit with them in the loss and help them to process that loss. Do you know what I mean? Acknowledge it.
Maria, we'll have to come back to this again the next
time,
won't we?
Yeah, it's very...
What area of it will we look at the next time?
Well, if listeners are stuck or they kind of want to talk about any particular area of this. I mean, this is a massive... People do... At the moment, a friend of mine is doing a master's in bereavement therapy. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's a massive area with great depth. But the biggest message to get out there, don't hide your tears. Give your grief space. Don't apologise for grieving. A friend of mine said to me the other day, they're sick of me crying. Do you know what I mean? Don't apologise and let your people cry. And don't, you'll feel helpless, but your empathy is much more powerful than you think. Sit with them. Okay.
And we'll revert back to that in a fortnight's time with Maria Neville, who's a relationship counsellor dealing with bereavement. And feel free to get those questions in.